Hi, my name's Julie Macken, and this is the 5-Minute Advocate. As we mentioned a few weeks ago, Eva and I are taking some time to think and talk through the issue of trust, but really more particularly distrust. Last time I made the point that I not only distrust Scott Morrison and his ministers, I'm not really sure I can trust any political party that takes political donations because the corporations and industries making the donation understand they're buying influence and power. So whatever the individual politician might think, however much they might be personally trustworthy, having taken the cash, they're compromised and can't honestly say to the community that elected them that that community is their first priority, because that place has gone to the corporation, the union, the sector that bought them. But just saying that our political leaders and parties are totally compromised doesn't get us very long along the road to a different situation. A clever bloke once said, I think in 1992, that nations are imagined political communities. I would add that these imagined communities produce very real-world objects and artefacts like constitutions, legislation, economies and standards, but that all of that creation, all those artefacts, arise out of this imagined political community. And I'm using political here in the broadest sense of the word. So I think to build more trust, we need to really look at how we're imagining our political community, because it's a collective job here. I'm pretty lucky. I live with largely trustworthy people in my life, family, friends, local community. They are largely trustworthy. Trust is not an issue when it exists. It's an issue when it doesn't exist. And I know a few folk, really lovely people. I wouldn't trust them with half a sandwich, let alone anything meaningful, which is fine because I know they're dodgy. I make sure I'm never in a position when I need to rely on their trustworthiness, which doesn't exist. And I do that the same way we as civil society might manage the untrustworthiness of the Prime Minister and his ministers, other shills and shysters. And that's what I'd really like to talk about. Every day, you and I express our belief in the trustworthiness of total strangers. The strangers who build the bridges we drive across, manufacture the lifts we get in, fly the planes we used to travel in, and manufacture the medicine that we'll be taking. Mostly, it never occurs to us to ask ourselves if the bridge, the lift, the medicine, or the plane we're depending on are safe. We trust it. Not because we know the builders or manufacturers. It's not a personal trust. It is a kind of communal trust. We know that there is a whole superstructure of scaffolding that makes these things far more reliable. But because we've got such a huge deficit of trust, I think we need to really focus on structures, not personalities, however grim they might be, but what are the structures that protect us from our worst selves, from the worst selves of others. And I'd like to offer two examples. On Monday, it was revealed that over the last 20 years, at least 40% of the coalition's money came from black money, dark money, money that no one knows where it came from. No one knows who made the donation. A Guardian analysis suggests that last year alone, the Liberal Party received about $22 million from unnamed, unknown sources, or 38.5% of their total income. Labor received $15 million, 27% of their total income. As a Centre for Public Integrity chair, Anthony Wheely, a former New South Wales Supreme Court judge, said, that much dark money destroys voters' trust, quite simply. He said, it means voters are in the dark about where the real influence in the political system is. But some of this is immediately fixable through structures. The Centre for Public Integrity has called for a strengthening of resources and powers to the Australian Electoral Commission, a reduction of the reporting threshold to donations of $1,000 or more, and the introduction of real-time disclosure, as they already have in Queensland. Finally, that parties should set up a single dedicated campaign account to make auditing and enforcement easier. Both Labor and the Greens have attempted to make these reforms a reality without any success. So, dear listeners, if political corruption concerns you, don't vote for it. Vote for a party that is trying to stamp out corruption using these kinds of structures. The second solution can be found in the response to the Home Affairs Minister, Peter Dutton, charging taxpayers us more than $36,000 to charter a Royal Australian Air Force jet to Tasmania to make a grants announcement for CCTV systems for two councils during the 2018 Braddon by-election, grants that his own department advised against. Okay, so hold that thought and then imagine if we really expected politicians to obey the law. Imagine if we were a community that, as a matter of course, held people accountable. Imagine if we were a community that really highly prized honesty. Well, keep imagining that and then ask yourself, how would you deal with this kind of dodgy behaviour from one of the most powerful government ministers Australia's ever seen? What would we do if we really valued that? We'd sack him. It really is time to demand Peter Dutton was sacked. He won't be sacked. Morrison won't even ask for it. So it's our job, one, to not vote him back in, but secondly, to kick up a storm with the Prime Minister and demand that we have the structures that support trust, and where they are breached, there is a consequence. Structures, it's the new thing.